What kind of clothing do you have to wear in preparation for tefillah? And we'll see this is not a subject just for men. We'll bring it back. It's a subject for men and women, as we will see by the end. What exactly, there's a concept of wearing appropriate clothing for davening, and what is that, and how do we get to that, what are the sources of it? And also, in the course of it, we can discuss hats and jackets. Where do hats and jackets come from? Some people wear hats and jackets as part of their davening. Hello.
Sorry.
Not a problem.
Well, you don't have to move.
How did you get in that way?
Yeah.
I went around
the drones.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Hello. Okay, this is your topic.
There we go.
Here we go. You asked about how putting stuff over your head. Here, this is up for you right here. Or you can take that one. That's fine. That's whatever you like. And so the question was, what about this, putting your talus over your head? And as we'll see, that sort of links into a larger discussion, as I was just saying, of clothes that we wear for tefillah. What does it mean? There's a notion of wearing certain kinds of clothing for tefillah, and what exactly is the basis of this? And in the course of this, we can discuss the common practice that some people have, lots of people don't, and lots of people do, of wearing a jacket and or a hat for different things, for davening, for Birkat HaMazon, for all kinds of different things. And we'll see where this comes from. Again, I'm going to present both sides of it, but we'll see where this comes from and what the basis is. So we start in source 1 with this pasuk from the Sefer Amos. Lachen ko e'aselach ha'Yisrael, ekev kizot e'aselach, hikon likrat elokach ha'Yisrael. Most of this pasuk is sort of not used in this context, but the last four words, you should prepare yourself to greet your God, Israel, is interpreted by the Talmud, as we'll see in a second, as a statement that before you come to talk to God, before you pray, which is essentially a conversation with God, not essentially, that's what it is, it's a conversation with God, you have to prepare yourself. What exactly does that preparation entail? So as we'll see, the Talmud interprets this in terms of being dressed in an appropriate way. There are other factors also. You should be in the right kind of place, and you should do it at the right time, and so on. There are a lot of factors which are involved in preparing to pray in the right way. But one of them is to be dressed in an appropriate way. So if we look at source 2 here, we see some examples of people who would prepare, stories in the Gemara of people who would prepare themselves to pray. Rabba Barav Huna Rame Puzmike Umatzle. Rabba Barav Huna, they translate here as stockings. You put on some kind of fancy shoes or socks, some sort of fancy foot thing that you would wear on, if you're going to somewhere proper. And then he would pray. Why? Because of this pasuk that we saw, hikon, likrat, and etc. Elokecha Yisrael. You should prepare yourself before you pray. Rava shade glime upachar yade. Rava actually took off his cloak, his outer garment, and he would somehow, it's not exactly clear what this means, put his hands together, wring his hands in the manner of a slave who was standing in front of his master, umatzle, he would pray. Amar ke'avda kame mare. So Rava said the goal here is not to put on fancy clothes. The goal is to appear in front of to appear like a slave coming to speak to his master. Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said that he saw that Rav Kahana would vary in terms of his practice depending on the situation, which is interesting. Chazina leila Rav Kahana. I saw Rav Kahana ki ikat sara ba'alma. When there is distress in the world, then he takes off his coat, his cloak, and he puts his hands, wrings his hands together, and prays, clasps his hands. Amar ka'avda kamemari. When there is problems in the world, when there is trouble, and you have to ask God for help, then he would act this way. Ki ikat shalma. When there was peace in the world, lavish umitkase umitatef umatzli. Then he would wear his fine clothes, and he would be mitatef, which we'll deal with in more detail later, but this is this idea of how did they translate it as enfold. I got this from a third party translation. They would enfold, he would enfold himself, which again, like, I don't exactly know. I had this issue. I was saying, I put in the title.
What does enfold mean?
It's talking about this thing where we put the talus over the top of your head. Ituf. We'll see that there are different, historically, there are different ways this was done. I don't know exactly what Rav Kahana did, but he would do some kind of thing wrapping it around his head. That's why I put head wraps in the...
But this also tells us that we should wear closed-toe shoes or stocky. Like if people wear sandals, we should wear socks too. I know we're talking about head covering.
Yeah, so we will get, for 100%. This all comes packaged together. What kind of stuff can you wear? And sandals will come up. Okay. Yeah. So he would put this on and he would pray. So if there was peace in the world, then he would luxuriate and wear his best clothing. Why? Amar hikon likrat elokecha Yisrael. You should prepare yourself to speak to God. So we have really three views here. Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, would just always prepare himself. He thought that the primary issue here when you're praying is that you have to prepare yourself to greet God. You can't just walk in like you would walk in to have any other conversation. You put on nice clothes. That's one view. The other view of Rava is that you are always greeting, you're always coming to God in the manner of a slave coming to speak to its master, and therefore you should, or his master's or her master, not its, but and then therefore you should act in that way. So he would actually take off his outer garment to evoke a sense of humility. And Rav Kahana, it depends. If this is a situation where I really am coming to beg for something, so then he acts like a slave coming to his master. If it's a situation where there's peace and it's partially praise, it's more of a thanking God-oriented kind of prayer, so then he would default to this other idea of preparing yourself to pray.
Do we learn from this is that's why you should not have bare feet when you pray?
So we'll see. It's going in that direction. Yeah. The question is, what is the operating principle here? You're supposed to prepare yourself to pray, and we see that that means you're supposed to wear special clothes. Even if we assume that, you know, the reality is that basically the view of Rabba Bar Rav Huna became the dominant view. The first view, that you're supposed to prepare yourself always, became the dominant view throughout in terms of the way the halacha developed. And there is some mention of this third view of depending on the time. I don't know if I put it on here. I don't think I did. But some people do mention it. So even if we say that that's true, what exactly are you supposed to wear? How do you decide what you're supposed to wear? Obviously, we're not going to wear Babylonian stockings. That's not the plan. Nobody wears that today, I don't think, to the best of my knowledge. I don't even know what those are.
It could be socks, though.
It could be socks, but I probably was something fancier than socks. Mm-hmm. We're not wearing that, so we're not wearing anything like the clothes they wore when this was written, and, you know, clothes change all the time. So how do you decide what you're supposed to wear and what you're not? Like, should I wear a Santa Claus? What should I wear? I don't know.
So one could also presume that at this time, most men wear a kaftan type of thing, a robe.
Okay.
So if you bend, you may be able to see a person's legs. So
okay.
In order to avoid seeing bare skin, if you will, you could have covered some.
But it's clear that that's true, and that's we'll see as a factor as well. But what is also clear here is that this is some sort of special clothes. He didn't just wear, you could have worn the cheap stockings, but he put on the fancy ones. I think. They're supposed to be fancy. So what is the operating principle which allows us to decide what you should wear and what you should not wear? So if we go to the Shulchan Aruch gives us a little hint, although it's not totally clear. Lo ya'amod, this is in source 3, be'afundato. You shouldn't stand with your money purse, your money bag, which is called a taska, which is very similar to the Hungarian word tashka, which actually does mean bag in Hungarian to this day. Velo berosh megula, and not with an uncovered head. Velo beraglai megulim, not with uncovered legs, not with uncovered feet, rather. Ela im derech anshei makom shelo yamdu lifnei gedolim, ela bebatei raglaim. If it's the place, if it's the custom of the place, that nobody would stand, nobody would go to see an important person with bare feet. Some places, that's not the case. I don't know exactly, in India, whatever, places where that's not the case, necessarily. People will be barefoot. Pardon?
People walk around barefoot.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. Even if you're going to meet someone important, maybe you wouldn't necessarily cover your feet. So here we have three rules. This is a quote that the Shulchan Aruch is bringing from the Rambam. And the last one is clearly modified by this rule. It depends what the custom of the place is. If the custom of the place is to go barefoot, then it's okay to go barefoot. To go in front of important to meet someone important when you're barefoot, then it's okay to go barefoot, and if not, not. As we'll see, people point out, the other two of these rules are not necessarily bound by that concept, but this already gives us the first inkling, and we'll see that there may be a couple of variations of this, that it's that what you're supposed to wear depends on some of the customs of the place where you live. Right? If you live in a place where certain kinds of clothing are considered important, and here we have this, the parameter is whatever you would wear to go meet someone important, if whatever you would wear to go meet the president, the prime minister, whatever, somebody important, an important meeting, that's what you would wear. So those are the sort of things that you would wear to prepare for tefillah, which makes sense because you're talking to God. God is the most important meeting, arguably, that you're having. So then you should be wearing that kind of thing. And we see this sort of idea is developed in sources 4 and 5. Source 4, this is the Chai Adam, already commenting post Shulchan Aruch, and he has this kind of idea. Yit'atef bebegadav kederech sheholech lifnei asar. A person should, here he uses the word ituf, wrapping himself up. He's talking about putting on his clothes. He should wrap himself up in his clothing the way that a person would when he goes in front of a minister. Lechen einu nachon leitpalel bekaptin, or kapatin, I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce that, chaluk ba'it, it's a house robe, ubebeged hatachton, you shouldn't pray while you're wearing a house robe, or if you're wearing an undershirt, some sort of undergarment, o beshlafark, which is...
Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know.
Usually underwear. Kulza is a bit of a, like a... Underwear.
Yeah, so I don't think he's talking about underwear. Oh. Underwear, I'm assuming, because that... But it could be. Beged tachton, I mean, it sounds like, in other sources here, we'll see a beged elyon is like a jacket. Mm. So I don't know if he's talking about a jacket or he's talking about an undershirt.
See, tachtonim is underwear, like
right.
Boxers,
yeah.
Type of thing.
Oh, beschlafark, which if anyone knows how to pronounce that, I'm very happy to hear it, which is pajamas. Beged sheina, clothes for sleeping. Milim sheina musim letzepem. Because these are clothes you don't go out. Kamosha katuv, hikon likrat elokecha. The pasuk says you should prepare yourself to meet God. Vayasim kova barosho, kederech sheholech barachov. And here we have the appearance of the hat. You should put a hat on your head when you go to pray, the same way that you do if you go out into the street. You know, I don't know, again, I'm very bad with dates, but, you know, prior to John F. Kennedy's presidency, it was normal to wear a hat in many places. And so you should put a hat, nobody would go out into the street without some kind of hat, so you should put a hat on. Velo bekova katan shetacha lekova, which is called the shlafmitits. You shouldn't wear the small hat which is under your bigger hat. In other words, like a kippah or something that you would wear. Here they call it kippat sheina, a hat that you would wear for sleeping. Upshita shelo yitpal biraglayim megulim. You also shouldn't pray with uncovered feet. Im ein derech oto makom kach la'amod lifnei gdolim. If the custom of the place where you live is not such that you would stand in front of an important person with your feet uncovered. So we see here he's clear. I mean, I bolded the two. It sort of got inverted. That's funny, because I bolded all the English parts because it wasn't clear enough, and the result was that it has inverted bolding. But I pointed out the two phrases here in the Hebrew. They are bolded, which are the operating phrases in terms of defining what we're talking about. He says, he has one phrase where he says, you should wear whatever you would wear when you go to meet a minister. And when it comes to the hat, he says you should wear a hat the way that you would walk in the street. So those are not exactly the same thing, right? The way you walk in the street is not necessarily the way you dress when you go to meet someone important. It might be a certain level of formality, but less formality than that. So there's a little bit of debate here. What exactly is the parameter? Is the parameter how you would dress out in the street? Is the parameter when you would go to meet someone important? My opinion, I mean, whatever it's worth, as we'll see, is that he's not saying... In the second phrase, the way that you go out onto the street, he's not trying to define what kind of clothes. He's just trying to explain what he's talking about. You should wear a hat. In other words, the goal here is to dress like you would dress in front of an important person. What kind of hat wearing am I talking about in terms of dressing in front of an important person? I'm talking about the way that you go out in the street, not the way that you are in your house. I guess that was, you know, at a certain time, that description was instructive enough so everybody knew what you were talking about. I don't wear a hat in the street, so that's meaningless to me. But that's what he means. So we see here this. What's picked up here, though, is that the definition is whatever I would wear if I'm going to meet somebody important. Okay, that's the Chai Adam. In the Mishnah Brura, we have more or less the same kind of idea. Ubizmanenu tzarich lehasim be'et ha'tfila kova b'rosho kederech sheholech b'rachov. In our days, he's saying a person should always put a hat on when they pray, the same way as he does when he goes in the street. V'lo b'kova katan shetachan ha'kova, not the small hat which is under the big hat. Ki ein derech la'amod ken lifnei anashim chashuvim. Why do you have to wear a hat this way? And here I think it's even more explicit. You should wear your hat like you would go in the street. Why do you have to wear it this way? Because nobody would go meet an important person without some kind of hat. There was recently a video of the Chafetz Chaim. I don't know if anyone saw this video of the Chafetz Chaim, which was like a big thing. They found this old like news footage. There was some sort of conference and the Chafetz Chaim was there. And you see all these rabbis coming and they'll have like a fancy brimmed hat. And the Chafetz Chaim comes and he's wearing like a cap. So I don't know if that means he would daven in a cap, but it sort of works out. It's not necessarily, so he may not, this is hearsay, I don't know, but he may not have been talking about a fancy brimmed hat, he may have just been talking about a hat, whatever hat you would go out in the street. We saw him in the street, he was not wearing a fancy hat. But that's the idea. Okay. Ein litpalel bebatei shokim shel pishtan, and similarly a person shouldn't pray in linen pants. I don't know exactly, it says linen in the English, but I meant linen pants. Levad dignayhu la'amod kan lifnei gedolim. I don't know exactly what kind of linen pants they were talking about, but apparently they had some sort of linen pants which were not good. Umikol shekan kishelovshin sandal b'ha'ekav megula. So here we have the sandal.
Maybe that was that time's version of jeans.
Could be. I don't know. So I don't know. I'm not. I've seen linen pants that are very fancy.
Of course.
And I've seen linen pants that are. I don't know if I've seen non-fancy linen pants, but whatever. But anyway, and the person, you also shouldn't wear a sandal if your heel is exposed. And he says the operating principle here is, and this is critical, hakol talui lifi minhag hamakomot. Everything depends on the practice of your locale. Whatever they do in your locale, you should do. That's the important part. So what we've seen until now, and more or less, we'll see is the definition, is that whatever is done in a person's place, however you would dress when you go to meet an important dignitary, that's how you should dress when you pray. You certainly shouldn't dress whatever. Possibly people interpret this in terms of how you dress in the street, but certainly, at the very least, but certainly it seems more likely we're talking about how to meet a dignitary. I don't know if anyone has seen the picture of Prime Minister Harper meeting Justin Bieber. Anyone seen? I don't know why. There's a picture of Justin Bieber.
Recently?
You know who Justin Bieber is? I sort of know who he is. There's not recently. It was years ago.
The
Prime Minister's wearing a suit, a little bit of a belly. It's like buttoned. He hoods at his hand. Like and then Justin Bieber's wearing overalls and a big white T-shirt and a baseball cap tilted to the side. So I don't know. I'm not whatever. But yeah. I don't know if that proves that you can wear that for davening. I'm not sure. Clearly, Justin Bieber felt that this was appropriate clothing to meet the Prime Minister of Canada. He is Canadian, right? I think so.
Yes.
So, like, this
I
is not like
reacted that it wasn't very
that it wasn't appropriate. Okay, right. So that event can serve as a guide. What kind of things do you wear? I know that a couple weeks ago, somebody made a whole deal out of the fact that they had this Trump had this meeting for all these executives, and someone came wearing a sweater. Like they weren't wearing a suit. They just had pants on and a sweater and no jacket. So as someone was saying, oh, does this mean that this is okay now? You know, someone came to visit Trump without a suit on. Does that mean you can now wear a sweater to meet the president? And I was thinking, that probably means you can now wear a sweater. You know, if you're going to be wearing a jacket for davening, now you can wear a sweater. Because if you can go meet the president of the United States in a sweater, then you're pretty much okay.
The fact that it was one out of everybody else doesn't mean it's really acceptable.
That's true. And the fact people made a big deal out of it shows it's really not acceptable.
Right.
If I hadn't found out about it from the news, then it would have been maybe okay. The fact that you hear about it shows that it's not. But anyway, those are the sort of things that you have to think about. That's what it sounds like in terms of these halachas. And things change from place to place. In Israel, things are much more relaxed, much more casual than they are in America. In Israel for a long time, you know, all the politicians had like short sleeve shirts with like half of it was unbuttoned and whatever, and the huge enormous collars and stuff. So they, and nobody wears ties, and so I, whatever. At each place, you have to figure out what's going on.
But
yeah,
even to this day, I mean, you don't go to the Kotel wearing sandals. I remember we were staying in a hotel nearby, and I was going to visit the Kotel, and I had sandals, and my wife said, what are you doing? And she doesn't really go to shul much, but you can't go in sandals. You know, so
I mean,
you
know, people, a person has a sense.
No, they won't stop you, but she said, like...
Oh, is there an official rule that you can't go to the Kotel?
No, but it's inappropriate. That's my point.
Right, well, if you have a sense that, you know, I really ought not to wear this, you know, I should wear shoes when I go to the Kotel, then it makes sense. Then that's your intuition telling you this is not appropriate.
But in the schools there in Israel, they daven with... It's just sandals with no socks, right?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It happens.
No,
I've seen
most
it.
Most people, I've never... Really?
I've seen
in the
it.
Heat
sure.
of the
it depends where it is. Depends where you are, obviously, right? which neighborhood you're in.
Again,
but I've definitely
I've
seen,
never
it.
Seen it. Really?
I've seen it.
Now, does it differentiate between which davening, which service it is in terms of weekday or Shabbat or Yom Tov? In terms of what you should wear in the
shul. Well, there's a concept of having extra special clothes for Shabbat and Yom Tov. Even specialist, whatever. Which one exactly is the special, more special clothing is a question. Elsewhere, I didn't quote it here, but elsewhere the Shulchan Aruch says that you should try and have special clothes for tefillah specifically, and presumably on Shabbos you should have, I don't know if that, it like... compounds. You have to have special Shabbos clothes, and within the Shabbos clothes, you have to have special davening. I don't think anybody does
that. See, the other thing is that, you know, if you have during the week davening at the Amud, if you have a jacket, you don't have to put a talus on, but if you don't have a jacket, you have to put a talus on. So there's a recognition that there's a.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Some people do that, and some people don't. Some
really?
Specifically
that's
say
our
you got to wear the jacket anyway. If you're wearing the jacket, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You have to, instead of the tallit's not going to take the place of the jacket. If the jacket is being worn for this purpose, right? You wouldn't go to meet the prime minister in your tallit.
Yeah.
I think so. If you're not going to do that, then
I think at the boat shul, if you want to dump for the nova, you have to wear a hat.
Yeah. Okay. So that seems to be the idea here. There's also a discussion about. If you've seen this happen, people wear a jacket, but they don't put their arms into the sleeves. It's sort of draped over like a cape.
I take one arm, every morning I take one arm out.
No, but this is like even without tefillin, like on at Mincha, you do this.
That, yeah.
I actually saw a discussion about that. Are you allowed to do that or not?
It looks awful.
And apparently the Chazon Ish in Israel said that you are allowed to daven that way. I don't know if at a certain time this was a thing.
But
to me it always seems like you're just not serious.
But a jacket's not meant to be worn that way.
I know, but... It doesn't matter how it's meant to be worn. It just matters how people wear it. I don't know. Anyway, so the Chazon Ish said you can do that. Other people say maybe you shouldn't do that.
Well, the talus has fringes.
No, but you have your jacket.
No, I think it's usually like at Mincha, if you have Bachrim and stuff, they do this sometimes and then daven. I don't know. Chazon Ish said you can do it, but that doesn't mean. Anyway, so this is okay. So let's zero back in here. That's how the reasonable course of the halacha emerges. Good. There's a in source 6. There's a little bit of a distinction made in terms of the covering your head at all and covering your head with a hat, which we'll see. We'll come back to at the end. It becomes important. So the Aruch HaShulchan points out, we have these three rules which were cited in Source 3. You shouldn't wear your bag, you shouldn't have your head uncovered, and you should wear socks or something on your feet if the practice of the place is to wear something on your feet. So the Aruch HaShulchan just points out, there's a difference between wearing a hat and having your head covered but not with a hat. Right, he says, "Mihu." This is in source 6. Begilui rosh mevuar lehedya midvarav deino talui b'minhag hamakom vafilu b'makom shederech lamod b'fnei gedolim begilui rosh aser b'shat tefila. However, he is understanding that, and we saw this in an earlier session. We talked about kippahs. That when in terms of your head being uncovered, it seems clear from the words of the Shulchan Aruch, from the words of the Rambam, that that's not dependent on the practice of the place. Only this last issue about your shoes, the Rambam says, is dependent on the place, but your covering your head at all is not dependent. So
the
even if you're...
It's a
direct quote from the Rambam, that statement.
Oh, okay.
So even if you live in a place where the practice, and this was true in Lot's place for a long time, when you come to meet someone important, you take off your hat. You don't have your hat on. Mm-hmm. We saw this description, if you recall, in terms of Rav Hirsch in Germany, where somebody was coming to teach in Rav Hirsch's school, and Rav Hirsch told them, you should take off your hat. He had no kippah on. Just take off your hat when you're talking to me, because if one of the... I understand that you're putting on the hat because you have a sense of God and so on, but if one of the secular teachers will see you, they will say that you're being impudent, because in Germany you have to take off your hat when you meet an important person. So even if the practice is to take off your hat in that place, the Aruch HaShulchan is saying when you pray to God, you still have to have your head covered with something. And then he adds on afterwards, Umedinatenu in 6 here, it's source 6, it's paragraph 6, in source 6, Umedinatenu, Ein lit palel af ksharosh mechuse bekisui katan, rak ba'inan kova kamo sheholchin barachov. In our country, you can't pray even with just your head covered with a little hat, you have to have a full hat. But there's two levels that are being presented here. One is a basic level of covering your head so that it's not uncovered totally. The second is a level of wearing a hat on top of that, because that's what is accepted practice in that place. One last note along these lines, and here we'll, and then we can sort of reflect on this, is that we've said the question is really dependent on what the practice is in the country, right? What is the communal practice? So if I decide that I think it's really nice to wear a hat or sunglasses or sunshine badge or something when I go to meet the prime minister, that's irrelevant. What really matters is whatever the cultural understanding is. But what we see in some later writers, we'll see this in Yalkut Yosef from Rav Ovadia Yosef, is that, I don't know if it was based on the culture now, especially in Israel, where there's a big mishmash and there's all kinds of stuff going on and people are different kinds of things, but many of them write about the person deciding for themselves. If I'm the kind of person that goes out in the street wearing a hat, I would go to meet someone important wearing a hat, then I should wear a hat when I'm praying. If I'm not that kind of person, then I don't have to wear a hat. And we see this here in Rav Ovadia Yosef in Source 7. A person should pray, Elit Paleli Makova Vamikbad, a person should play with the hat, or a brimmed hat. I had a whole discussion with the other member of the Kollel. He had like a thing.
Turban,
there's a thing for the, because he was the chief Sephardi rabbi. It's like a special hat thing. Mishum hikon likrat elokecha Yisrael. You should prepare yourself to greet your God. V'kol sheken bebirkat hamazon. Also, you should wear this during benching, during birkat hamazon. Sheru'i v'nachon l'bosh kova u'mikbat l'rosho. Because then it's very fitting to wear a hat or some sort of other hat. I had a whole discussion about how to define the difference in kova and mikbat. But a kova is just anything, like a cap or a tuk or whatever. A mikbad is specifically like the fancy brimmed hats. Kamosha amru bebrachot shetzarich ituf bebirkat hamazon, because the Gemara says that you have to have ituf, you have to have your head wrapped during benching. We'll come back to that soon. V'haholich tamid im kippa blavad, that's for people that wear a hat all the time. But somebody that always goes with just the kippa, if they're a man, they're always just wearing a kippa, izaher shetiyeh kippa mechased rov harosh, then you should just be careful that your kippa covers most of your head. Vaz yuchal likro kriyat shema litpelel bekippa, then there's no problem with reading kriyat shema and doing all kinds of other things just wearing a kippa. So he changes the definition such that it depends on what the person decides to do. So here, in terms of the reality that exists in the world today, there's a little bit of a split. There are certain groups, certain camps, where this is basically the argument that I presented. I'm biased, right? I own a hat, but I do not really wear it. I had to buy. It's a long story. It's not insurance. I had to buy it for some circumstance. But I don't usually wear it. So, this is the argument which is put forward, which is that it's clear that this halacha is defined based on whatever the culture around you is doing, or maybe, according to Rav Ovadia Yosef and some others, about based on what the person decides to wear, what they feel intuitively is an appropriate dress for going to meet someone, an appropriate dress for the street. And since today, hats are no longer really a thing. In fact, a fair chunk of the hat industry is supported by, Orthodox Jews that wear hats. I'm not sure. I didn't look that up. But I think it is true. So that would seem to indicate that nobody wears hats these days. It's sort of self-defeating. But there are those that say that it's not true. We have this tradition, and the tradition is to wear the hats. And it's still, and according to Ravad Yosef, you understand that if a person decides this is appropriate dress, then it becomes appropriate dress for them. I don't think you can take that argument to the end. Like, I don't think if I decide to wear Santa Claus hat in the street, that means I would have to wear Santa Claus hat when I go to shul. But clearly there's still some sort, he senses some sort of balance there.
There is a bit of a, you know, I know it's not in here specifically, but there is a bit of a political angle to this too.
Right. So sure.
Obviously, the groups have different head covering types.
Yeah. So we're going to get to some more reasons for possibly doing this, or whatever. But this is the idea, and I just brought this source 8 here to express this idea. This is from Isha Yisrael, which is a famous book about tefillah. There's also a myriad different type of hats. Short hats, tall hats, big brims, little brims, fedoras, borsellinos, etc. So I brought just this from source 8. This is from Isha Yisrael, which was a book about davening, which was written not very long ago. And he says, flat out, Bishat tefillah, tefillat shmona esra, yesh lachvosh kova al rosho. During Shmona Esra, a person should wear a hat on their head. Ukfisha derech lamod bifnei anashim chashuvim velo istapek bikisui kippah shelo veish kol hayom. Because that's the way that a person stands in front of important people, and a person shouldn't be concerned. He shouldn't rely on just wearing the kippah that he wears for the rest of the day. And in the footnotes there, he says, but some people say that since today nobody wears hats, even in front of important people, maybe we can be more lenient. But nonetheless, he writes in the book that you should wear the hat. And so this is part of the practice that happens today. Many people still wear a hat for davening, despite the fact that the reasoning for the halacha has fallen away, at least based on most interpretations. What other reasons are there potentially for doing this? Or I should note at this point also that the jacket comes from the same place as this reasoning that we've been saying now. To wear, if you would wear a jacket when you would go to meet somebody important, and I think there's a stronger distinction between Israel and North America, and people make that distinction, because here really you probably would wear a jacket. If you're going to meet someone important, you'd wear a jacket. A tie is a big discussion. If you really want to be honest, I don't know how this translates exactly into women's clothing. We'll see what exactly this means in a moment, but a tie is also something that people have a whole discussion about. Do you have to wear a tie? And so that is coming from the same place, which is, you know, if I'm going to, here I really would do that. A hat is already maybe not debatable, but a jacket is not a thing, but someone would do it. So perhaps you should be doing that, and it comes from the same kind of source. And in Israel, again, it's a little bit more loose, because it's not always clear that jackets are, you know, it's very hot there also. It's really not Israeli clothes to have that kind of. Most of the clothes from Europe just don't work very well.
Is there a tshuva or anything that came down about how soldiers get away from having to not wear a uniform? I mean, they don't have to wear that kind
of
uniform.
Yeah, so I haven't looked. I'm sure there is. I thought about this, not recently, but at some point I thought about it. And I think military uniforms, people wear them like at fancy events.
But they have,
don't they?
But do
they have that in Israel?
Sure,
do they have fancy military things?
My wife told me you're given two uniforms.
But it's the same one?
No, one's
a dress uniform.
Really? They have a formal
one?
Yeah. Okay, so then I don't know. Then you have to assume that, you know, it becomes suspended because you need to be in uniform.
You know, presumably it's acceptable to meet a minister, prime minister, in military uniform.
That's probably true. Yeah. Also, and at a certain level, you have to assume this might be suspended in terms of...
Yeah.
The question of how this relates to other requirements of tefillah is also fascinating. I saw that Reb Chaim Kanievsky holds that if you're stuck in a situation where you can either pray with the minyan and not have your hat and jacket, or pray by yourself with your hat and jacket, you should pray by yourself.
Wow.
This perspective, and the reasoning is, first of all, so that's how it's quoted. I dug around because I was like, how could this be? Yeah. So he says, if you're a person who normally prays with your hat and your jacket, then you should do this. And the reasoning is because this idea of hiko and likrat elokecha, preparing yourself, he views as at a higher level of importance than the importance of praying with a minyan.
How about you the 10th guy?
And then you're going to mess up everyone else's minyan. That's already interesting. I don't know. Doesn't it interfere with the tefillin?
I
cannot answer you from personal experience. I do know that it happens. They are combined.
They usually put the hat back.
It goes back.
So it's yeah. From the head.
I've seen it. Yeah.
That looks silly.
It does look silly.
Respectful then.
No, I agree.
That question comes up also. If you have a jacket and you're put on your tefillin and you leave the arm out, so some people say that's okay because you have to wear the tefillin and that's how you do it. And some people say you shouldn't do that because if you're, you know, that's not called wearing a jacket. You don't wear half the jacket. Wear the whole jacket. I'm not trying to. There are two sides there. Okay, so how does this?
It's hard to kiss your toe.
Yeah, it is hard. It's hard to do it, but. Anyhow, okay, so let's talk about a couple of other reasons here for wearing the hat. This comes to this question of ituf, of wrapping your head. So this was one reason. There are other reasons that someone would wear a hat. That's sort of just segued because I wanted to talk about wrapping the head. So what is that? What is this idea of wrapping your head? I translate it sometimes as shrouded. It's probably not, you know, enfolded, however you want to translate it. Derech, the Shulchan Aruch says, citing again the Rambam, the Derech HaChachamim V'Talmideihem Shelo Yitpalalu Elika Shehem Atufim. The way of the wise men and their the Chachamim and their students is that they would only pray when their heads were shrouded, covered, whatever this is, enfolded. That's what they would do. Why? What is going on here? So the Mishnah Brura, and elsewhere, not in this place, but somewhere else, says that he's talking here about when you put on your tallit in the morning, you have to wrap it around your head, or some sort of wrapping. Maybe it's wrapping around your body, maybe it's wrapping around your head. There's some sort of wrapping that you do, and this wrapping, Shekisui Zeh, he says, Machnia Lev Ha'adam Umevio Lidei Yirat Shamayim. This kind of wrapping humbles a person, and it brings him towards fear of God, and so that's why you should do this. It creates a sort of sense of an environment where you're ready to pray. Other descriptions I've seen, you know, the Sanhedrin, when they would sit, each judge would put something over his head, and the idea is that you're not looking this way and that way, you're focused on whatever is in front of you. It sort of like zeroes you into what you're doing. So that's a description that we have, that you're supposed to wrap something around your head. When exactly are you supposed to do this? For what parts of davening? So the straightforward reading from that first source that we saw is just when you're talking about Shmona Esrei. All of these rules that we've been saying about wearing special clothes is for Shmona Esrei, when you're actually talking to God. But in other points of the tefillah, maybe not. The Bach says, here in the Mishnah Berurah, Katev Bach, the tzarech she'eh talit al rosho mitchilat tefillah ad sofa. The talit should be on your head the entire time, from the beginning of davening to the end of davening, the whole way through, psuke de zimra, psuke de brachas, whatever. Val kol panim yamod kach mutaf lefchot kedei hiluch daludamot. And we're talking about putting on the talit, so at the very least you should stand there for a couple of seconds while it's like this. I tried to look up all the sidurim to preempt what we usually happens. We try and find what happens in all of the sidurim. So there are three, at least three different versions here. Some people wear it the whole time. Some people wear it just for Shmona Esrei, and some people wear it from Baruchu, like after Yishtabach, until after Shmona Esrei at some point. Those are the three different practices that people do. It sounds like the core is the Shmona Esrei, and everything else is secondary. What kind of, so why, there are also people who don't do this at all. Backtrack one second. If the issue is ituf, so this is another reason why people wear a hat, because during mincha and during mariv, there's no, unless you're the shliach tzibur, there's no talit to put over your head. There's nothing to enfold yourself in. So you wear a hat, and the hat is considered sort of like a covering of your whole head. How is that justified? Because it's obviously not what we're talking about here. Here we're talking about putting on a talit. So how is that justified? Or some sort of scarf or something. So the Gemara says, in terms of the laws of mourning, where this is also a factor, initially, originally, and within, I think we discussed this, but we talked about a couple of the practices of mourning, is that you're supposed, one of the signs of mourning is that is itu farosh. You're supposed to cover your head all the way down below your eyes, and people would know that you're in mourning. We don't do that today, but the Talmud says about this in 11, Kol atifa she'ena ke'atifa yishma'elim ena atifa. Every kind of wrapping, which is not like the wrapping of the Ishmaelites, of the Ishmaelim, of the Arabs, I guess in this case, is not considered a wrapping. What does that mean? It means, and you see this because there's a whole debate if you're supposed to do this, people sometimes do this in the morning, I think especially Sephardim do this, where you take the tallit and you sort of wrap it in front of both shoulders, and you it's over your head, and then you put it over most of your face and over the back of your shoulder. That's called ituf ha'yishma'eli. I don't know if you... I was trying to think of like a reference that's a popular picture of the Arab world where they do this, but it's that kind of wrapping. Your head is covered, your face is covered except for your eyes. That's the kind of ituf and wrapping that we're talking about. It's super wrapping. So we don't do that. Most people don't do that. And certainly nobody does that for davening. And if there's a hat, unless you're wearing like a baklava, a hat is not doing this. So how do we get away from this? The Tosfot says already that, you know, the in terms of explaining why we don't do this, at least for mourning, is because it would make a person into a laughingstock in Europe, in America. America today may be even dangerous, but in Europe, to walk around like that, people would laugh at you. If someone would practice this, people would laugh at you. That's not, you know, the goal of the morning is for you to be serious, for you to be solemn, but not for people to laugh at you. And therefore, we stopped doing it. And at a certain point, the hat sort of took over as that kind of thing. So today, some people wear a hat for this reason, and other people say, no, there's no reason to do that. Now, nobody wears a hat either, and people kind of think you're funny if you're wearing a hat. They might think you're a hipster if you're wearing a hat. I lived in New York for a year. I saw, like, you know, I'm walking on the street, and you just see this guy in jeans and a t-shirt and a Borsellino. It's very interesting. But nobody will do that. So how do you accomplish this? So you have a big kippah. This is what Rav Avadya Yosef meant when he said, if you wear a kippah, as long as your kippah is covering a big chunk of your head, most of your head, whatever, then it's enough to accomplish this rule. And that's what some people say. So here we have two reasons. We'll discuss a third reason for why you would do this. We have a concept of preparing yourself for tefillah. We have a concept of ituf. And I saw someone mention, you know, doesn't lead back to the political element, but it does lead back to this concept of tradition. I didn't bring it here because there was no more space, but especially amongst Hasidim, the notion of maintaining the clothing that has been worn by the Hasidim in previous generations is very, very important. Everything down to tucking your socks, your pants into your socks, or whatever, if that's what they did in the town where your Hasidus is from in Europe, that's what people continue to do, and you should not change it, and you cannot change it, and it's very important to maintain what's called the levush, the clothing of the Hasidim. So the notion that you have a tradition, that this is what you do, is very powerful. I saw here also, just it was a nice quote, this is from Rav Soloveitchik, who was by no means a Hasid, there's a story. Once we had to form a minyan at the Rav's home, Rav Soloveitchik's home. He told one of the family members to please go get his hat. This young man began trying to demonstrate to the Rav that one did not require a hat for tefillah. He pulled out his source sheets and he starts talking to him about there's this gemara and there's this thing and it's only dependent on what people wear in the street and what people wear to meet someone. And the Rav snapped back at him, you may or may not be halachically correct. I do not wish to debate you on the topic. However, I wear a hat during tefillah because I never saw my father or either of my grandfathers daven without a hat. That itself is sufficient grounds to necessitate a hat. So he says, I don't want to hear your arguments. I don't want to hear what you're talking about. I know my father wore a hat. My grandfathers wore a hat. That's what you do, and you wear a hat. And there's a way to daven, and the way to daven is that you have to wear a hat. So this is also part of this idea. So what we've seen so far is kind of an amalgam. What about, how are you supposed to prepare yourself for tefillah? And also a couple of other reasons, just because I wanted to get to ituf, to wrapping your head by the wayside of reasons that people have for wearing a hat. Obviously, the black part of it is not mentioned here anywhere. That's a whole and there is a strong social component, a sociocultural component that you want to identify with a certain group and you want to identify in a certain way, and so you dress in a certain way. I'm not saying that in a bad way. But that's just the fact. I think people will admit that. I don't think
many of the Shas guys wear brown hats.
Okay.
Brown fedoras, like in Israel. Yeah.
If you look at the pictures from Europe, like from before World War II, there are all kinds of straw hats and white hats and gray hats and feathered hats and whatever and caps and so on. And so at some point, I don't know when, I didn't get the memo, but at some point it just all became black hats. With ribbons. Okay, whatever.
My brother-in-law lives in London, and the shul used to belong to, there's a guy with a bowler.
Yes.
Every time. And
Spanish and Portuguese shul, maybe.
No, it was.
It wasn't Bevis Smart.
Yeah.
It was right around the corner from.
Anyway.
From the Beatles, Abbey Road.
St. John Wood.
St. John's Wood.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's good.
And everyone, he just wore it.
Just one guy.
Oh, one guy.
But my brother-in-law, who grew up here, when he went there and started going there, he bought himself a black hat.
In the Spanish Portuguese shul in Amsterdam, on Shabbos they still wear allegedly top hats and coats with tails.
Yeah.
Every week, that's the practice.
I saw this in London 35 years ago.
Yeah, they
wore top hats. The officials of the shul wore top hats.
Yeah.
They also used to escort you up to when we had an aliyah.
Yeah.
The guy would escort you
nice.
By the arm.
So, okay, the last thing to talk about here is this. All this discussion has been talking about hats and jackets and clothing for men, and if we really reflect, certainly on the first reasoning, I don't know about Ituf, and I don't know about other sources, but certainly the first chunk of our discussion about preparing to dress for davening, that's not a male versus female thing. That's not a... everybody's davening, and whenever they're davening, so this is the question. Where exactly does this, leave in, women in terms of preparing for tefillah? And somebody has noted, I saw one of the people note, there's very little discussion about this anywhere, and someone has noted that that's proof, this is not such an important rule. This whole rule of preparing yourself and whatever, if Chazal really meant it, if it was really something very critical, so that they didn't describe how this is supposed to be. There's all this discussion about what men ought to wear, and there's no description about what if women are included in this halacha at all. But I saw a couple of sources which were interesting. The first thing that we noted at some point is that Rav Ovadia Yosef mentioned... We noted at a certain point there's a distinction between praying with your head uncovered totally and praying with a hat on. And Rav Ovadia Yosef picks up, I didn't even think that, and somehow this, we found this, that anybody would say this, but logically speaking, so maybe women should also cover their head when they pray. Specifically. And I saw, and somebody told me that they actually saw once somebody like in YU in Stern, one of the girls who was very careful to do this. But I saw Rav Ovadia Yosef suggest that. Most people, this is not the mainstream practice, but most people, he suggests that girls who are unmarried, narot ravakot, shehochot bli kisui harosh af birshut harabim, who normally go in public without a head covering, which is everyone, I don't know of that practice otherwise. No, go lit palel levareich bli kisui arosh. And the practice is to pray without a head covering. V'chen min hagam gam bebeit hasefer charedi beit Yaakov. This is the practice in the charedi school system in Beit Yaakov. Af al pi she'en limchot beyadam she'yesh lehen al mashi yismochu mikol makom lechadchila yesh lehorot lehen lechosot roshan be'etshem v'archot mit palel. So he states here single view. I didn't see anybody else that says this, and he says, and he reiterates it afterwards in the point in the quote that I took out, that nobody should say anything to them because, if somebody does this because they have ample sources to rely on, his view was that you should teach them to cover their head when they make a bracha and when they pray. Because of this, the reasons that we saw before. What about other kinds of dress? So again, it's very not mentioned anywhere. The only I saw a short footnote here in source 15 from Rav El Yashiv, where Rav El Yashiv said that a person should be careful to pray. He says that Dash Lagrish El Yashiv Shlita Kedai Lahader B'Midat HaEfshar V'Lo Lahitpalal Shmon Esrei B'Chaluk Bayit. A person should be careful not to pray in a house robe. Here, people don't really wear house. I mean, I don't know. I don't wear a house robe. I've seen in Israel, I've been to people's houses and they were wearing their house robe. It's not like, it's like a thing to wear it at home. On Shabbos, they have a special Shabbos one. I've been to people's houses, it's called a chalet in Israel and people wear it. But Rav El Yashiv says, I think Rav El Yashiv used to wear them, you can see in pictures, that you shouldn't pray in the house robe, even if you're fully dressed under the house robe, but you shouldn't pray in that. And you should be careful to, even during Birkat HaMazon and Kiddush, which require ituf, you should be dressed that. You shouldn't pray in a robe. And he's careful for this ruling of the Beit Yosef that we saw before, this rule, that beged she'omdim bo lifnei gdolim, whatever you would wear in front of honorable people, or whatever you would wear in front of important people is what you should wear. And the house robe is not considered an honorable garment, neither for men nor for women. And this is the only reference that I could find, basically anywhere, where he seems to suggest that a house robe is not acceptable clothing for tefillah, for men or for women, and that seems to be the suggestion. So there, but the concept should still exist in theory. It's not defined, and maybe that's good, because they don't have to get involved in craziness about what kind of jacket, and this kind of jacket, and this kind of hat, and that kind of hat, and people can be a little bit more organic, but yeah.
But the name gives it away. I mean, it's a house robe. You only wear it in your house.
It
would never be something that you would expect to wear out of the house.
Yeah, I guess. I hear that, and that's probably why he's saying this, but that is the idea. So, logically speaking, we would imagine these halachot, in however they manifest, extend to women as well, and we see a couple of sources of that. So what have we seen overall? There's a concept of preparing oneself before you pray. There's a concept of ituf that we saw, of wrapping your head in certain points of tefillah, and these ideas coalesce, and also tradition, in terms of ways people dress in general, ways people dress for tefillah in specific. Some people accept the view that really the operating factor is what you wear when you go to meet important people. Some people accept the view that you have to maintain traditions from beforehand, and we saw this comes together.